turn to Genesis chapter 12, actually 13. We're going to talk a little bit about 12, a little review here, and then continue on. We saw, as we've been through the last part of Genesis here, Abraham leaves his home, goes to a new land. Sounds like the first big test, at least that's recorded here, is a famine. Abraham looks at the famine and says, oh, I can't stay here, I've got to move, and decides to go to Egypt. We remember the circumstance that take place here. He gets into Egypt, realizes, uh-oh, I got a problem here I got to deal with. Everybody's going to be after my wife, and they're going to off me, kill me to get to her. So he comes up with this plan. Sarai goes along with it. Abram says, tell them you're my sister, which is a half-truth, which is not the truth, right? The truth is the truth, not a half-truth. So through this deception, he seems to survive. Again, this little deception has nothing to do with her safety or her situation, just that he won't be killed. And we see that Pharaoh hears about her, decides to bring her into his house, starts giving gifts to Abram. We know what for, because it says that the Pharaoh was considering marrying her, which obviously would be, you know, I didn't really think about this, but, you know, it seems like all these times in the Old Testament when there's tragedy or things take place, do you think that's quite possibly Satan trying to work a different situation, work in a way? If he could get Sarah to be married to Pharaoh, then what happens to the Israelites and the fact that God was going to, you know, see, Satan trying to disrupt God's plans at every turn. Sometimes we don't always think about that. But anyhow, turns out Abram has got himself and his wife in a real jam and is in a position where he can't really do anything to fix it. God intervenes, sends plagues to Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh becomes aware that these plagues and things that are all of a sudden happening to him and his household are because of Abram and Sarai being there. So Pharaoh says, basically, get out. I don't want anything to do with you. Why did you come here? Why have you deceived me? Why did you lie to me? Look at what's taken place because of your deception and what's happening to me and my household. It's interesting if you think about it. Pharaoh didn't say, give me back all that stuff that I gave you, by the way, and get. He said, take everything and get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. So Abram and Sarai leave, go back to the promised land, travel to Bethel. We talked about that a little bit in chapter 13. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot. And it doesn't say anything else about Lot other than Lot went with him. Verse 2 is interesting. Abram at this point in time was what? Very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So Pharaoh down there had been shoveling it to him in bucket loads while he was down there to try to get a hold of Sarai, his wife. We know that Abram wasn't extremely poor, because when he left, he took him and his wife and all those individuals that were part of his household with him. So he had servants or employees or whatever to keep his livestock as they traveled to the promised land. But we see now the statement that he's very rich. So God, even though Abram messed up, God still provided and still blessed him. Verse 3, and went on his journeys from south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So as we see, Abram coming out of Egypt and going back to the place where he had built this altar to get back into fellowship with God. He called upon the name of the Lord there after this took place. Again, God may bless us even though we mess up as well, but we need to still get back into fellowship with him. God cares for his own. Verse 5, we started in here, and Lot also went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. So now we know that Lot, I don't know how Lot gained this stuff, but maybe Pharaoh was giving it to him as well. We don't know. Maybe it was overflow that Abram gave to him. Here, Lot, you can have some of this stuff. We don't know. But apparently Lot had flocks and herds and tents as well. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. So we have them coming back into the promised land, and where they happened to be, that land couldn't sustain their livestock, the both of them together. We know that it's not like they came back and this was the only place to settle, because we'll get to that later on. Abram says, the whole country is before you. Pick where you want to go. So it was like they were fighting over this one particular spot right here. And then it says in verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Interesting here. At first glance here, you think, well, the only reason there was problems was because there wasn't enough grazing land. So people were fighting over this one plot of grazing land here. I think there's more involved here than that, because it says, and there is strife between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot's herdsmen and over the plot of land. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, and Abram says unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. I think the implication is here, this situation goes a little deeper. We talked about some of the consequences for Abram's trip into Egypt, right? How when he was there, he could have stayed in the promised land, and God could have provided while he went through the famine. He could have, when he went to Egypt, he could have said, this is my wife, and let God provide, maybe in a miraculous way, that nobody would touch his wife and he would wind up alive, but trust God. But we didn't see that take place. So, as he was there in his testimony to the Egyptians, here comes this individual who supposedly trusts God, yet we see him deceive us and plagues come upon us because of his deception. And then obviously we talked about that, him having to come back and confess before God. Sometimes we don't see the further circumstances. Who else? Let me put it this way. When you sin, that affects only you, right? No, sorry, that's not how it works. It affects others. It affects our family, our spouses, maybe friends, maybe relatives. Who else went to, I guess my point is, who else went to Egypt along with Abram and Sarai? Lot, all the people that worked for him, in other words, his household, everybody that herded his sheep, all his herdsmen, they went down there too. What did everybody see when they went to Egypt?
The mess Abram got himself
in. They all saw Abram's actions and what took place. Do you think that I think there's quite a possibility that We see all the wealth in Egypt. They became wealthy as they were down there, right? They saw everything that Egypt had to offer, good and bad. And then they come back to wandering in this land where they're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no civilization except our group of people. Do you think there was some discontent among individuals? How about this? Do you think that some of them had lost their respect and their admiration for Abram after going through this? Quite possibly.
Verse 7 tells us that there were also other nationalities there.
Right.
So they brought all this batch back from Egypt, and now it's everybody is
right.
Trying to have room and get along.
Right. As well as, do you... And we think about this and don't think about the circumstance around. There were other people that lived in that land. Do you think they didn't see the conflict that was going on? Probably they did, right? I mean, they're small communities. It's not like you live on the other side of the state and I don't know what you're doing over there. People knew what was going on. So the Canaanites and the Perizzites that dwelt in that land, they understood that there was conflict in this family, right? And that there were things going on.
Mm-hmm. Flocks that's coming back into all of a sudden showing up here in our borders. Get out of here.
Yeah. So with that in mind, as we continue on and look at this, so what's Abram say in verse 9? Is not the whole land before thee? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right, and I will take the right hand, I will go to the left. So in other words, Abram's saying to him, there's plenty of land available, right? There's plenty of land for you, plenty of land for me. We just can't be fighting over this one little plot of land here because this is not going to work. and of course, Abram, being the older, had the right to say, I'm going to take here and you have to go there, right? But we know that Abram said to Lot, you choose... and then I'll go the other direction. What does this tell you about Abram at this point in time?
Puts confidence in the Lord.
Okay. Do you think Abram had learned his lesson and wasn't going to say, I'll decide where I'm going? You think Abram finally got the message or finally got the lesson learned here? And we see Abram, you decide. And I'll take what is left over. Let God lead me. so that, pardon me?
It's the second time he's done this with Lot too.
Yeah.
The second time is coming up in chapter 20.
Yeah.
He hasn't learned his lesson.
Yeah, not completely.
Not completely.
Let's apply this. Do we learn our lesson the first time around? No. Unfortunately, we don't. But sometimes we learn our lesson and we do what we should, right? And then for some reason, that dense, thick skull of ours, we forget what we went through and we make the same mistake again, or we make a different mistake again because we're not, again, trusting the Lord or whatever the situation might be. So we look at Abram and we say, you know, Abram, come on. You should have done better than that. Well, you better point the finger back at ourselves because it applies to us as well. I think that's why these people in the Old Testament, we look at Abram, becomes Abraham, and such a great individual. He left his homeland and trusted God and journeyed where he didn't know he was going and trusted God to lead him. Yes, he did. Yes, that was a victory on Abram's part. Does that mean that Abram was perfect? Not by a long shot. But it's an encouragement to us to understand that even these individuals in Scripture that we may look up to because of things they did right were not perfect, but God could still use them just like he can use us even though we're not perfect and we make mistakes.
I always think that when you're pointing at someone,
yeah, you know when I'm doing this to you guys and I'm not pointing at you. But we see here, let's take a look. And Lot lifted up his eyes, verse 10, and behold, all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. So you may look at that sentence and say, well, see, he was just trying to provide for his flocks. So Lot did what was right by looking out for his lots and his herds and his sheep and his goats and just trying to find them water, right? So this was a good decision on Lot's part. Sorry. Keep going. Interesting here, it says, they're looking on this plain of Jordan, and it says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So this little note in here lets us know, obviously, this was before that was destroyed. But keep going. Even as the garden of the Lord. So this gives us an idea of this plain that he's looking towards. Even as the garden of the Lord. What's that talking about?
Eden.
The Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden?
Perfect,
lush, beautiful, had everything you needed. And Lot looks to this direction and says, look what I see. The interesting thing is, what's the next few words say? Like the land of what? Egypt. That's interesting. Like the land of Egypt. As thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. In other words, Lot, when he saw this, it reminded him of what? Egypt, where he had been, where he had seen all that wealth and all that prosperity and all that debauchery and all the sin. Do you think he didn't know what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? Everybody knew what Sodom and Gomorrah was like, and he knew that it was down there in that plain. Yeah, exactly. Stan.
Could be the reason that Abram chose to go to Egypt in the first place. That using what we just read about not picking the place, Abraham did the same thing in a sense.
Yeah.
Or thought he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yep.
For me, it paints a picture of.
Yeah. Yep.
Us,
yeah. Right.
We make a mistake, and then what did we, then we go back to the Lord, which is, we're lucky that the Lord is wanting us to come to Him in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What, I got a question for you. What does this tell you about Lot? That he missed Egypt because this reminded him of Egypt and that's where he decided to head, was that direction? And here's where I come back to some of the consequences of our sin. If Abram had never left the promised land, and God had provided for him through that famine, what would Lot, his nephew, what would Lot have seen?
He would not ever have seen how good Egypt was.
Yes.
He would have seen the Lord divine.
Right. He would have seen Abram as an example of someone that trusted in God, and God brought him through it. Instead, Abram messed up and decided to go to Egypt, and then deceived him while he was down there. Lot saw all of that take place. And he got down there, and his heart was towards Egypt. He wanted to go back to Egypt because he saw what it was, and this was the closest thing to Egypt he could find. Do you think the herdsmen weren't feeling the same way? Do you think that wasn't part of the conflict between them? I came out of Egypt where all this wealth was, where we lived in this great place with all this excitement and everything that was going on. And now I am out here in the middle of wilderness again, and I got to deal with all the difficulties of living in the wilderness. I think it had a lot to do with it, the fact that they had been into Egypt and saw what went on down there, and they desired that. Verse 11, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. And Abram dwelt in the land, of Canaan. So Abram stayed there, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. We'll see later the progression of Lot and his decision here and how this was a bad decision as well. But it says he pitched his tent, what direction?
Towards Sodom.
Towards Sodom. Why would that be? You don't pitch your tent facing someplace that you don't want to be or don't want to go or don't want to be associated with, right? Right. We were just, maybe it's a bad example, but we were just up north camping, and the campground we were at was right on Lake Michigan. And the campsite that we had wasn't right out on the lake, which is a nice view. Hey, it's a great view out there on the lake. And we talked about, well, maybe we should see if we could move from the spot that we're in over there. But we decided not to. You know what? It turns out a couple days later, the wind shifted, and the wind was blowing so hard that you couldn't hardly stand out by the lake. See, it looked good, but what would the consequences have been? And again, maybe it doesn't apply so much, but maybe it does. Pat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sin is fun, isn't it? Because it draws us in because of our old nature, and that's why we're supposed to strengthen the new nature and kill the old nature and those things that used to give us pleasure. But yeah, ask anybody if sin is fun or not fun. Satan makes it fun because it appeals to the old nature, and he tries to draw us in and suck us in that way. And that's what Lot did. Abram dwelt in Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And again, because that reminded him of Egypt. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And again, this is not new revelation here. Everybody in that area knew exactly what was going on there. Yet, that's what reminded him of Egypt. Kind of tells you what Egypt was like, doesn't it, in those days. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated, so after a period of time, I'm sure it wasn't, okay, I'm going to move, and then an hour later, he's packed up and gone. Obviously, he's got herds to move, cattle to move, people to move. So at some point later, maybe a few days, maybe a little longer, do you think Abram's wondering about his decision? Maybe, maybe not. But the Lord says unto him, the Lord comes to him and says, reassures him again, unto thy seed I will give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Again, God appears to Abram, and says, this is the land where I want you to be. This is the land, one buzzer, that I am going to give you, reaffirming that promise that he had given to Abraham. Sometimes we need that reassurance too, don't we? Where do we find that reassurance? Right here. But you can't find that reassurance if you're not in the Word looking to see what His Word has to say. Important lesson. We need to be in God's Word so that we can hear God. God appears to us through His Word. And again, he built an altar there unto the Lord who had appeared to him. And verse 8, he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still farther south. What do we see in Abram's journeys now? When Abram left Bethel and went to Egypt, did you see him stopping and building altars on his way down there? No. But we see in several stops here, like places he had stopped before, he stops and builds an altar. What's that indicate? Okay, he's trusting in God. He's fellowshipping with God. He's following God's leading. In these different steps in his life. Same thing we need to do. Maybe we need to stop and build an altar. Not that we worship, need to worship at an altar, but maybe we need to stop and remember places along the way that God has provided for us, that God has led us, so that when circumstances come upon us, we remember those times when God has provided, when God has led, when God has been there, and we trusted in him and we saw him provide. It's good to remember those things, and sometimes we forget those things as well. Did I read the wrong spot? I certainly did. I jumped back to chapter 12. I didn't turn the page. Sorry.
I was looking for it, but chapter 13 does end.
Yes. Okay. So,
where's John getting?
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. See, that's what happens when you don't flip from one page to the other. It's got the same thing in the same spot. So I'll read the right verses now. It says, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever." So God comes to Abram and says to him, "You're where I want you to be. This is the land that I'm going to provide for you. As far as you can see in all of these directions, this is what you're going to have. And not just you, but I will give it to your seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Interesting here. Has Israel ever completely possessed the land that God promised them?
No.
No. Why?
They
didn't trust God that he would drive those people out, and they didn't obey. And look at where they are now. They possess part of the land now, but not the whole land that God has provided for them. Yet God said, "I will give you this land forever." This much relate to a future promise, and obviously hasn't taken place yet in history. Matter of fact, they control such a small portion of land that they're being pushed out of there as well in modern times. I'll just read these last couple of verses. "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in the Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So he did build an altar again. I knew it was in there. Yeah, me too. And again, fellowship with the Lord, trusting in him, letting him guide your path instead of us making the decisions, and then realizing that when we do make decisions on our own and don't follow God's desire for us, there are consequences, and sometimes far-reaching consequences that we don't even consider would be a possibility, but sometimes how it affects other people. So we have to be careful with our walk with the Lord. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.